the J-Talk Podcast.
Useful ball, Max. Oh! It is an equaliser for Japan. Lovely touch there from Masala.
Hello and welcome to the J-Talk podcast. Ben Maxwell and Sam Robson with you. And Sam, can you believe what you have just witnessed?
No, absolutely not. The word was unbelievable. I can't remember. I had, after like the first 60 minutes, I had like an idea of what I was going to say on this podcast. But then the way that Japan played towards the end of that game, that victory is unbelievable. It's just, yeah, absolutely fantastic. And a lot of humble pie is going to have to be eaten by many.
Indeed, yes, and we'll get the ball rolling, I think, on this episode. Yeah, I think we're in a state of bewilderment, but yeah, it's all gone perfectly to plan for Hajime Moriyasu, as his substitutes did all the damage in the second half against Germany on Wednesday night, Japan time. We're recording right after full time, in the early hours of a Thursday morning. The NHK telecast is still going on in the background. But yeah, Sam had to jump on here and chat about this amazing result with you. It has to go down as the biggest in the history of the Japan men's national team.
Oh, absolutely. I can't think of anything really that comes close to it. It was just a bit more clinical than the performance against Belgium. They were able to see out the game, and like that game, it was maybe a similar performance in the way that they played going forward, especially second half. But yeah, to beat a team that's, well, it's not necessarily the greatest German side in the world, but it's a very good German side. And to go 1-0 down and have a first half when it wasn't the greatest first half from Japan. They had a couple of chances early and then Germany really settled into it and dominated. But then to have turned that around, yeah, is absolutely magnificent. And yeah, I can't give the players and even Moriyasu all the credit in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess we could start at the start. But yeah, the especially the second half of the first half, if you like, was pretty dire from Japan. So, I mean, we're coming into this recording on a high. So let's talk about the two goals that won it for Japan in the last 15 minutes, Sam. Well, actually, maybe before we do that, should we talk about the four saves by Shuichi Gonda with the 20 minutes left that kept Japan in the game basically at 1-0, with Gonda atoning for giving away the penalty just past the half hour that handed the Germans the lead. So, I mean, it's the final result. The glory goes to Doan and Asano for their goals. But, I mean, the redemption story within the space of, 40 minutes of game time from Shuichi Gonda is pretty epic as well.
Yeah, it is, and he kind of needed that as well. Now we'll go on to talk about the penalty that was conceded, but it was pretty terrible goalkeeping there. And he looked a little bit shaky after that, especially for crosses coming in. But yeah, when he was called upon, he was there and he stood up and made a series of fantastic saves, just flinging himself at the ball. Just making sure nothing else was going past him. It was, yeah, a terrific bit of goalkeeping and, much needed and vital. I think that kind of spurred Japan on. That's those saves, it said, we're still in this game, we can go on and get a result out of it. And yeah, they absolutely did that. So yeah, credit to Gonda, because yeah, you can imagine confidence would have been low after the way his first half especially had gone.
Yes, absolutely. So yeah, we mentioned right off the top that Moriyasu's substitutes made the difference and ultimately won the day for Japan. So I mean, there was a defensive change at halftime, Sam, with Tomiyasu coming on for Kubo, but the heavy hitters, I suppose, came on, starting with Kaoru Toma and Takuma Asano just before the hour. And obviously Moriyasu knows a lot more about football than we do, and this has been confirmed over the course of the past 90 minutes, or at least the second half here, with his subs making the difference. But yeah, all of us questioning the inclusion of Asano. I mean, he's justified it in spades by winning the game for Japan. But I mean, yes, but if you can speak about the impact that all of the offensive substitutes made, because shortly after coming on, Ritsu Doan and Takumi Minamino made a huge impact as well.
Yeah, they were magnificent when they came on, just getting in between the lines. They were just causing Germany problems, both of them, with intelligent runs. And eventually Mitoma got released a little bit more forward, because when he first came on, he was kind of left back in a flat back five, which at that time I was thinking, well, what are you doing? Why are you allowing the Germans so much of midfield and sitting back so deeply? Because when Tomiyasu had come on, he came into that back line as well, and it was kind of flat back five for a little bit there, and I wasn't delighted by that. But yeah, with the introduction of Doan and Minamino and that change of impetus just really worked, and yeah, the link-up play was so good, and it was just like what we imagine Japan can play when they go forward, and Germany really had no answer for them. And yeah, we have to say Takuma Asano was magnificent. Like, the first thing he did was pretty much get a shot away, and he was really positive. Like, the second shot, he went quite a bit over the bar, but at least he was getting in the positions. He was ready to take on a shot. And I mean, his goal, I think it's the greatest thing I've ever seen him do. The touch and control to bring it down, the movement away from the defender, and to beat a goalkeeper of Neuer's class from as tight an angle as did was just absolutely magnificent. Just, yeah, incredible from Asano. But we all saw that coming, didn't we? We were all saying he was first name on the 26.
Yeah, most definitely. He was superb. Yeah, I had a really good running battle with Antonio Rudiger there for pretty much the last half hour of the game. Won a couple of corners off Rudiger, and as we said, ultimately went on to win the game. So Doan came on 71st minute, Minamino 74th, and then seconds after coming on, Minamino was involved in the goal that equalised for Japan. Kaoru Mitoma slipped him in down the left-hand side of the box. His cross was pushed out by Manuel Neuer, but Doan was in the right place at the right time to blast in the loose ball from 6 yards out. And, that had come just a couple of minutes after there was a great chance for Hiroki Sakai, Sam, but he sliced dreadfully over from 6 yards. And, I mean, at that sort of stage, Japan, I guess, were gaining more of a foothold in the game, but you wondered whether a chance like that for Sakai, after Neuer had saved from Junya Ito's deflected shot, you wondered how many more chances Japan were going to get that close to goal and with that that presentable a chance. But as it turned out, they only had to wait 2 minutes for another.
Yeah, I'm glad they did. But at that time I was thinking, oh, that's the golden chance. And of all players to fall to, you probably didn't want it to be Sakai. But first of all, Ito got a shot away, and the save from Neuer was absolutely magnificent to deny him. And then Sakai, just not in control of his efforts. But it was just at that time where there was that change of impetus, because Moriyasu was quite defensive for the first half and even at the start of the second half. And it seemed to be the kind of the game, but just make sure you stay in it, and then Japan can unleash the final 20 minutes. And to be absolutely fair to Moriyasu, it has worked. It has worked an absolute treat. And yeah, just that ability to flick that switch and go, I think that was really good. And not to get downhearted by that miss and to go again and score a couple of minutes later, it's just, yeah, fantastic. I mean, I can't believe the amount of praise I'm giving a Moriyasu side, but I am delighted by it.
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible. So they rode the momentum from that equaliser from Ritsu Doan with 15 minutes to go. And in the 83rd minute, Takuma Asano, that man who, of course, we all had the ultimate faith in, put Japan ahead. A long ball over the top from Ko Itakura was taken down by Asano, and he was able to have two touches in the box as he held off his marker. And as Sam said earlier, was able to somehow squeeze the ball over Manuel Neuer and into the net to spark wild scenes with pretty much the entire Japan contingent from their bench and all of their staff racing over to celebrate in wild scenes. They still had obviously 7 minutes of normal time to see out from that point, Sam, and 7 minutes of stoppage time that turned into I think maybe 10 or 11, but they were ultimately just about able to see it out. A Leon Goretzka shot in the fifth minute of stoppage time obviously had Japan hearts fluttering, but it flashed just wide of the post. And we're left to reflect on an absolutely phenomenal result. As you said, to go on and win it shows a remarkable belief in the squad and in Moriyasu in his players to go out and do it when, as I said earlier, they were very much on the ropes at half time. But he brought his some of his big guns off the bench. Some of them, obviously, certain people would have liked to have seen them starting. But ultimately, we can't really hold anything against Moriyasu after a result like this. And the ability of his subs to make an impact and ultimately change a game against a superpower in world football. I mean, a result like this, obviously it's never happened to Japan before. So if I do sound bewildered, it's because I literally am. And I mean, we're recording this before, obviously, Costa Rica play Spain, Sam. So we don't know what's going to happen between those two teams and how open the group will be for Japan after that game. But surely this has got to take them into the Costa Rica game, especially with riding a wave of emotion. There's obviously danger of having a come down after something like that. But hopefully they can just kick on and really give Costa Rica a game in a similar vein to the way they've done to Germany tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. They should be full of confidence. The only thing is it's going to be a different game against Costa Rica. Costa Rica might be the team that sits back a little bit more. Japan have a lot more possession maybe in that game, and it's on them to kind of force things. It will depend on the Costa Rica result against Spain. So if they lose, then they have to come out and and beat Japan. So that might make it a really open game, which might help Japan on the counter-attack. You saw the pace that they had, especially right at the start of that first half against Germany. The pace was really causing them problems, and it would do to Costa Rica if they had to come out as well. But if they can get a result against Spain, then they think they can just sit in a little bit more, then it might become a more difficult game. But you see the confidence that has to come from this. Yeah, it's just hopefully they're set up in such a good position. You've got, like, if you beat Costa Rica, it's not certain that they go through to the last 16, but I mean, they're more or less there. Not many teams don't go through with 6 points in a group, so it's a really good opportunity for them. They've put themselves in a position that I don't think many people expected them to be in, but yeah, just hopefully they've got it in them to really grasp this opportunity, because it's no point beating Germany if you then go and mess up against Costa Rica.
Right, exactly. And as I said, there's the possibility of a hangover, and they'll have to guard against that, of course. And we obviously, with the 3-day turnaround, we wonder what sort of changes, if any, Moriyasu might make to his starting 11. I guess, as I said, we can kind of work backwards, Sam. So, I mean, the glory of the last 15 minutes with the goals from Doan and Asano, and then, the team working so well to see the game out, with the Germans becoming increasingly desperate and unable to really create too much, as I said, apart from that Goretzka shot very, very late on. But, I wrote, as I mentioned to you in the green room, I just wrote 3 pages of notes throughout the game, just, incidents and goal math incidents, shots, etc. But once the 45th minute ticked around, I just wrote that Japan were desperate to get to halftime at 1-0, and they were fortunate too, weren't they? Because VAR bailed them out. It was a correct offside decision that was ultimately spotted by VAR, and the linesman didn't flag for offside, so it was correctly spotted by VAR, and the Kai Havertz goal was disallowed. But they were really, really on the ropes, weren't they? The last 20 minutes of the first half, I felt, was really poor. They couldn't keep the ball at all. They just kept giving it back to Germany and inviting the pressure onto them. And they probably couldn't have had too many complaints if they were even 3 goals down at halftime. But they managed to just about dig themselves to halftime. And obviously, the rest is history. But the first half, as I said, it was a difficult watch at times.
Yeah, it was vital to get to halftime. If it was 2-0 or anything like that, I don't see Japan coming back, because, they were all over the place defensively. I think Sakai was the main culprit in not being in position. Obviously, it was a fault for the penalty to a degree, as well as Gonda. But there were times just before that he was out of position, and I don't think there was quite the communication with Ito. I don't know if Sakai thought Ito was covering him and decided to come out. But, it was a little bit all over the place. There was that shot that Gonda saved, and Itakuru was looking around, had no idea where the ball was. That was for the Havertz goal that was then disallowed. So, there were were lots of times where it was absolute panic stations at the back and they just couldn't keep the ball, couldn't have any possession. I thought they started so well, just they were a little bit further up the field in terms of where they were engaging Germany, and they had a number of counter-attacks. I mean, oh, goodness me, if they hadn't have won this game, that Maida, with the goal that he had ruled out, I mean, that would have come back to haunt him, because there is no way he should have been offside there. He just had to time his run. He's so quick, he doesn't need to be a half a yard or 2 yards ahead of the defender. So, like, he was really positive at the start, but then they just dropped back, and then they kind of lost a little bit of confidence, I thought, with the defensive mistakes that were creeping in. And, yeah, it was just kind of hanging on at the end for that first half for Japan. But Germany didn't offer too much, really. Like, Musiala, I thought, was magnificent for them. But other than him, I don't think they caused necessarily a great deal of problem. Like, it was a kind of problems caused by Japan's own doing, by not really being in the right position or poor clearances. But yeah, once they kind of got that sorted, and I think Tomiyasu was a good substitution to bring on at halftime, because he just settled it down a little bit. He's so calm in possession, he's commanding, and yeah, they all kind of follow his lead a little bit. But yeah, it was scary times at the end of that first half.
Yeah, most definitely. I think most of Germany's chances, obviously Musiala had a couple that he would love to have back. But yeah, a lot of Gundogan chances from shots from distance that were either blocked or saved by Gonda. Ultimately, Gundogan did, of course, beat Gonda from the spot in the 33rd minute after. What was he doing, Sam? So yeah, you mentioned that Sakai was out of position and Junya Ito wasn't helping him at all with the incident in the 31st minute when the penalty was ultimately conceded by Gonda when he slid in and upended David Raum once, not twice. I mean, we didn't get a definitive angle, a definitive replay to see how extensive the contact was, if indeed there was any. Obviously Gonda was pleading his innocence. Obviously, the keeper should never leave his feet in a situation like that. And then, yeah, once he got to his feet to then upend the other team's player as well is... it's obviously not the done thing. And as we said, he was ultimately able to redeem himself, Gonda. But the people that were questioning his inclusion in the team in the first place, they certainly had a lot more ammunition in their arsenal after that incident.
Yeah, they absolutely did. Especially as he's got away with the first one, he's dived in and not made contact and got away with it. And then to get back up and be so clumsy and just kind of falling into the back of him, and I think that his knee made contact with the player's hip. So yeah, I think it was a penalty. I don't think there could be any arguments of it. It was just really poor and erratic goalkeeping, and that's kind of what his first half was like. But yeah, thankfully, kind of calmed down second half, and then his goalkeeping took over and he made, redeemed himself with some fine saves. But yeah, this was part of Japan's just really frantic 20 minutes or so in that first half, and it was just rubbish goalkeeping and rubbish defending.
Yes, indeed. And going all the way back to the 8th minute, and you've mentioned that from Daizen Maeda failing to hold his run after the first 10-15 minutes. Obviously Japan were very bright and their pressing was working very well, and Daichi Kamada won the ball in the 15 yards inside the Japan half and laid it off to Junya Ito, who surged forward and crossed from the right. A goal looked certain, and indeed a goal was scored, but for some reason Maeda, while he's looking along the line, wasn't able to hold his run. And as you say, he's one of the fastest players in world football, so he certainly doesn't need to be ahead of the last defender in a situation like that. And I try not to I try not to swear in the Patreon only line group, Sam, as I obviously am basically the administrator of that. But I couldn't help myself after that from Maeda, because that was just absolutely dreadful. But again, that from Maeda, that from Gonda to concede the penalty. At the end of the day, it all gets washed away by those two fantastic goals. And the absolutely stunning performance from Japan in the last the last half hour of that game, when it was there to be won, it was there to be fought back into, and they did that, and then they went on and defied everybody's expectations and took down Germany. And look out, Costa Rica. we're coming for you. So, well, obviously, it's a case of, yeah, Saudi Arabia, whatever you can do, we can do better the next day. But it's obviously it's following along a similar pattern to that game, Sam. I saw a tweet at halftime. I don't know if you did as well, that, yeah, obviously Argentina were 1-0 up thanks to a penalty last night. Saudi Arabia went on to score 2 second-half goals and win the game, and Japan have followed that pattern to the letter, not obviously in exactly the same vein, but yeah, to follow on that result with their own tonight is a huge boost for the Asian football after the disappointing performances from Qatar and Iran in the first two match days, and then again from Australia last night, who weren't able to follow obviously Saudi Arabia's lead. But yeah, it's just that result tonight, one of the biggest upsets in the tournament's history, I'd say.
Yeah, it was a much needed result. The both of them were for Asian football. The way that they'd started, Qatar were really poor in the opening game, and Iran were dreadful against England. I'm delighted by that. But they just sat off so deep, and that's the difference between the way that Saudi Arabia played and the way that Japan played when they were playing well in this game. It's the high press. Don't be afraid of these teams. If you put them under pressure, they'll make mistakes. Germany made plenty of mistakes in this game. Saudi Arabia caused Argentina to make a number of mistakes, and there is enough quality apparently in both of these sides that they can take their chances when they come. I mean, Saudi Arabia's, I mean, the two finishes from them were absolutely incredible, Al-Dosari especially, and then Japan have gone and done that as well, and they've taken their goals really well, especially Asana. So yeah, hopefully that gives a little bit of, maybe to Korea, who play tomorrow, they can be in that positive mindset, and maybe Iran and Australia and Qatar can take a leaf out of that, because you don't have, it's not like Asian sides are completely inferior to European or South American counterparts. They can give them a game, and Japan and Saudi Arabia have absolutely proven that any team is beatable at a World Cup. So yeah, magnificent from both of those sides, and hopefully that breeds a few more positive results and a number of teams through to the last 16.
Yeah, terrific. And I was really impressed by the way, yeah, I guess segueing on to the Saudi Arabian game, and I guess some of the other games we can chat about before we finish tonight. Yeah, the way that they didn't park the bus after going 2-1 up. Obviously, they were pinned back a little bit late on, and, you know, the extended second half stoppage time. It's natural that you will sink a little bit deeper, but they did keep their high line for as long as they could, as long as they were able to, and that contributed to their overall solid defensive display, and Argentina were left scratching around for answers late on in that game, and as we saw, they weren't able to find one, and Germany in a similar vein tonight. So it's happy days for you after England's 6-2 win over Iran. Not so much for me after Australia were swept aside by France, and as I said, not able to follow Saudi Arabia's lead. So I guess England are going to have to guard against a complacency as well after such a convincing win against disappointing opponents, Sam. They'll certainly have to keep their guard up for their second game coming up in a couple of days.
Yeah, I think they will. Given the nature of the opponents, the USA and Wales, I think it's been built up that both of those sides are going to give England a game. Regardless of how necessarily good they are on paper, those are two sides that are going to be well up for a game against England. So, yeah, I don't think there's going to be any complacency about it. I just thought they played so well against Iran, because going into that, I think the general feeling was Iran don't concede, they're going to make it really tight. And to go out and score 6 goals in the manner that they did was terrific to watch, and hopefully they can take that on against the United States and get 6 points up and get through hopefully as quickly as possible. But a really good performance that, and what did you make of Australia obviously taking the lead? They gave you hope, but in the end, was it just like the French quality really took over?
Yeah, that's it. We did it all wrong, didn't we? We scored first. We should have let France score first. But obviously that was a false dawn, because they were already looking ominous at that stage, and ultimately overwhelmed by a far superior team. I mean, that happens, and sometimes you just got to hold your hands up. There's criticism at the way Graham Arnold set them up and actually had them play, and they weren't front foot enough, but at times the French attack was just breathtaking. So, I mean, sometimes I think you just have to hold your hands up. And there was some optimism that Australia could get a result, a draw, possibly even nick a win. But, I mean, I think the warning signs were there pretty early on in the game, the golfing quality between the two nations, and obviously with Kylian Mbappe, Antoine Griezmann, Olivier Giroud, etc., in the mood, then yeah, it was it ended up being a very long evening for Australia, or very long early morning for me, as I got up at 4 o'clock to watch it. This has ended up being one of the longest days of my adult life, but it's ended on a high after obviously being starting with a quite a low, with Australia getting battered. But I guess the only thing we can hang our hats on is the draw in the Denmark Tunisia game means that if Australia can get a result, even obviously a draw keeps them interested in the final game against Denmark. If they can get something against Tunisia, and if France can take care of Denmark, then that will leave everything hinging on the final game, and maybe then the Aussie fighting spirit will really kick in, and we'll see what this side's made of. But I guess contrasting match day one results for our two nations, but we shall see what happens in the second group stage game, and we'll be back after Japan play Costa Rica, and hopefully we'll be in just as buoyant a mood, and hopefully looking forward to Japan stamping their ticket into the round of 16. So Sam, is there any other business, any other unsung heroes from tonight you wanted to give some praise to before we wrap up this episode?
Yeah, I don't know if he's ever unsung, but I thought Wataru Endo, considering he'd been out with concussion, just the way he managed to put himself about in both the first half and the second half, and making the blocks on the edge of the area, making challenges, being the one that instigated the press, instigated everyone going high up the pitch. I just thought he was, as usual, absolutely immense. And it was just shows the difference that he makes to this side. And Japan have just got to wrap him in cotton wool and make sure he can see out the tournament. I just thought he was magnificent. Yeah, anyone else for you?
I was going to ask you actually before we left about Ao Tanaka. He came in with Hidemasa Morita, presumably and not quite match fit, although Hajime Moriyasu did say on the eve of the game that everybody had trained and everybody was ready to play. So whether that was finally his decision or not, or whether there was something holding Morita back, if Morita was right to go, do you think he'll swap those two around for the Costa Rica game?
I think he probably will. I think Morita is the one who is just established in that position. He's probably a slightly more, he's got more experience than Tanaka. He's a slightly better player. But Tanaka did, absolutely fine. I was just delighted he wasn't Gaku Shibasaki, to be honest. Mm. But he's decent. I think he was a little bit of fault towards that period where Japan were a little bit frantic, and he was one of those that was involved in some poor clearances on the edge of the area or not quite getting it away. But generally, I thought he played pretty well. I thought he was, again, harrying the Germans. He was there making tackles. So, and he didn't do himself any harm, but I do think Morita, if fit, would come in against Costa Rica.
Right, and what do you do with Kubo? Because, I mean, he looked off the pace. I mean, he was simply bullied off the ball at times. There was one shortly before half time where Kai Havertz just, knocked him out of the way and said, no, I'm having this. He's obviously got his qualities, and Moriyasu obviously puts his faith in him by starting him in this game. But, I mean, I shouldn't be asking you this, because there's no point in us trying to predict what Moriyasu will do or questioning his decisions after what he's done tonight. But, Mitoma?
Yes, absolutely. I think just, especially if Costa Rica are going to sit deeper than Germany will, just it's going to need someone to break that down. And Mitoma is the only one in that squad who just is so direct and running in at defenders, getting into the area as he did. He created created the goal when he played in Minamino, but he's got those passes in and around the area. So, yeah, it's just, for me, he has to play. I can sort of see an idea where he plays Maida one side and brings Asano up front, just because he is going for this real pace attack, and I could sort of see that happening. Maybe he just goes back to Minamino, but yeah, the obvious choice for me is Kaoru Mitoma, and he doesn't have the excuse that he's coming back from illness this time. So yeah, Mitoma for me has to start. And I think they might make a few changes as well, because you've got 3 days between games. I don't think it's necessarily hurts to make a few changes in those attacking positions. So, yeah, hopefully we get to see Mitoma strut his stuff from the start.
Indeed, indeed. But in Moriyasu, we trust Sam. So, yeah, we'll leave the team selection to him. And I guess, yeah, we'll wait and see what happens against Costa Rica. And as I said, we'll be back, straight after that game concludes. And, hopefully the next episode of the podcast will be out as soon as possible to react to that. Again, hopefully another, fantastic result for the Samurai Blue. As I said at the start, yeah, we're a bit bewildered. So if that's come across throughout this podcast, well, then that's entirely, entirely because that's exactly how we're feeling about what has happened. As we said, the greatest result in the history of the Japan men's national team. Obviously, the women have won a World Cup before, so we're not going to try and claim that it's the best result in all of Japanese football history. But it goes down in the annals as one of the best upsets in World Cup history. I don't think it tops last night's Saudi Arabia to Argentina 1 result, but it's up there, and it's something for all fans of the Japanese game to celebrate. So Samuel, we'll leave it there. As I said, a banner day for the Japanese game, and great to chat with you so soon after it finished. And let's pump them up again and cheer them on against Costa Rica.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for staying up into the early hours. I mean, I'm only staying up till 3:40 in the afternoon, so it's fine for me. But yeah, you've been had a bit of a workout today, so thank you for that. And yeah, looking forward now to Costa Rica, because I mean, we probably all came in with a little bit downbeat on Japan's chances, but this has just revved everybody up. Hopefully it does for all Japanese supporters, both in Qatar and at home. And yeah, we can get really excited for this Costa Rica game.
Indeed, indeed. All right, so we will leave it there. That's it for this episode of the J-Talk podcast. Sam and I would like to thank all of our patrons for their ongoing support on Patreon. If you'd like to get involved, please visit patreon.com/JTalkPod. And we'd like to thank you listeners for listening wherever you are. Up the Samurai Blue. Come on, boys. Let's do the business against Costa Rica as well. We'll speak to you after that game. Bye for now.
The J-Talk Podcast. Yes, 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 yes.